All right, welcome to the free stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton. We are kicking off the month of June, and we're kicking off hurricane season, although we've already got our first named storm under our belts. But more importantly, if you're looking at it purely from football perspective, we are kicking off the final calendar month of the year in which there is not any official football activity. And I mean on the field in uniforms. You got OTAs going on. We're going to talk about that on the show today. But training camp starts in July. So I always look at it, and again, I have ways of just making the time seem less than it is. I always look at June and say, okay, we get through June, it's basically football season. And that's where we're at right now. So thank you for joining me today. I really appreciate all of you tuning in here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton, and we have got a lot to get to because we talked about the OTAs that have been going on this week over at One Buck Place. If you're just looking for anything, like if you're just desperate for football content of some sort, you had that. And there wasn't much going on, but there were a few positive signs. You know, you looked at, first of all, Noah Spence, you know, for all the stuff that's been going on with the Bucks up front on defense in the offseason, all the upgrades they've made, whether it's the draft or whether it's free agent or trading for Jason Pierre-Paul or on and on and all the things they've done. The one thing that's being overlooked that you haven't heard as many people talking about was Noah Spence, because, you know, they didn't have him for a good portion of last season. And then now that he's coming off this injury, he's going to be back on there too. It's almost like we're adding him, even though he already played for the team. Because again, for a good portion of last season, he was either not playing or ineffective while playing due to injury and just wasn't really a factor. And so you're going to get him back this year in addition to all the other things the Bucks did. And again, that's something that even I didn't even like really think about at that much when I was looking, oh, we got Vita Vea now, we got Jason Pierre-Paul, we added this guy, we added that guy. We're adding Spence, too, like we're getting him back. He's in really good shape, apparently. He's added some weight. You know, he had gone down. He was up in the 250 range. He went down and played at around 230-ish, 235-ish this past season. Decided that was a little light. He's back up to around the mid-250s, according to head coach Dirk Cutter. And so, you know, for whatever you think that might be worth, apparently, maybe it's a better situation for him to weigh a little more. But there's that. There's Brent Grimes, who was around the building. Jason Pierre-Paul was at the building earlier in the week when the OTAs weren't open to the media. Neither of those guys was there for the stuff that was open to the media. And I'm not a big, you know, you see it if you follow NFL people on Twitter, which I'm sure most of you do, or if you're reading about it in the papers. It's a big thing this time of year. Oh, so-and-so was not there at OTAs. He didn't show up. It was not team-mandated, and he didn't do it, and on and on. And it doesn't matter at all. Like, unless it's like the starting quarterback, which is a little weird. But even that, I mean, you see with Tom Brady, you know, it's not a big deal with these OTAs. It's just something that people need to talk about because as football people, if you're a 24/7, 365 football reporter, you know, you're going to reach for stuff. And that's what you're looking for. Now, this show on Joe Bucks Fan, obviously, is a 24/7, 365 football website, but we go all over the place, and we got a lot on the show today in the non-football category. I will say one more thing about the Bucks, though, if you're into this whole prediction model thing, and that is that the ESPN Football Power Index came out, and that's the whole, you know, all these people have rating systems and predictors and this and that and the other. But this year, the FPI has the Bucks ranked 22nd overall. And when you factor in other teams, teams in their division, strength of schedule, all that stuff, even though they're 22nd overall, it actually has the Bucks rated 27th as far as their probability to make the playoffs at 10% likelihood the Bucks make the playoffs. It has them at 5% to win the NFC South. Gives them a less than 1% chance to win the Super Bowl. Now, I don't care about the ESPN FPI that much. I'm just telling you these things because they're out there. It's also worth noting, though, that the Philadelphia Eagles, last year's Super Bowl champion, the defending champions this year, have an FPI of, well, excuse me, they had an FPI last year similar to the Bucks. They had a less than 1% chance to win the Super Bowl. They obviously won it. Now, Does that tell you, wow, unbelievable, they beat the odds? No, of course not. It tells you that their odds of winning the Super Bowl were better than 1% all along. And all these probability charts, and I'm a numbers guy. I'm a science guy. I believe in numbers. I believe in science. I believe in cold, hard facts, and I believe in parsing out what is and isn't true using the realities of data. I believe in that. With that said, all these things, I mean, how many times a year, and if something is truly like a 1 in 2,000 chance, it should happen very, very rarely. But how many times a year, like these win probability models, these in-game win probability models that tell you in real time what each team's chances of winning a game are, you see it like a handful of times a year. Oh, when so-and-so was down 78-62 with 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, they had a 99.9% chance of losing that game, and they won. You see that like a handful of times a year, and really it's not that they are overcoming these astronomical odds, it's that the odds were not that long to begin with. And people just love the headline. They love the catchiness. Oh, so-and-so was at one point a 4,000% favorite to lose this game, and they won anyway, and it's all, you know. And with the NFL, of all leagues, of course, these things are silly. But I'll tell you what about the Bucks. You know, I don't know how much these things factor in just what a team has done with what they had versus what a team is going to have. But you can't plug in the potential impact of Noah Spence being out last year and then feeling better now this year. You can't plug in the potential impact of Jason Pierre-Paul. I know they say you can. Well, we're just going to plug in his numbers and project, but you can't do that. Or all the other moves the Bucks made. Or Jameis Winston taking a step forward this year, which we hope he does. Maybe, maybe not. And I'm not worried about it in any way, but I just like to give you guys the numbers if they're out there. Even though I think it's bunk in the most cases. So with all that said, you do have a few other things with the Buccaneers to look forward to. And one of those things is Ronald Jones in the backfield, and not just him, but the entire Bucs, because he has moved on. He is now in Oakland. I was looking at an article written by Greg Allman, The Times, the other day, and a lot of ways that you could paint a picture of Doug Martin here in Tampa Bay seasons of how unsuccessful he was. But this really brought it home, these numbers here. They actually went and did some research, and I appreciate Greg and the staff over there for doing it. And the best stat that they found in order to convey how much Doug Martin really truly struggled here, across the entire league over the past four seasons. This is just four seasons, but still, you know, every team over four seasons. Only twice did a player touch or carry the ball 125 times or more in a season and average fewer than 3 yards a carry. Twice, all right? Doug Martin in 2016, Doug Martin in 2017. So again, the entire league and 4 years' worth of running backs all over the league, only two of them carried the ball 125 times, and yet didn't average over 3 yards a carry, and both times it was Doug Martin. Another one was tweeted out by Warp, who's more of a sports gambling guy, but has some good data and some good info. He pointed out that there have been 40 NFL running backs who had 200 plus carries over the past two seasons, and of those 40 guys, Doug Martin is one of them. He ranks, wait for it, you probably already can guess, he ranks 40th in yards per carry. And he also ranks 40th in the lowest percentage of runs that gain 3 yards or less. In other words, he has the highest percentage of yards or less. And same thing with 5 or more yards, lowest in that too, 40 out of 40. So obviously these are reasons why Martin is not here anymore, and these are reasons to be excited, because when you're playing with that sort of a handicap, and it's not, I'm not trying to pick on Doug Martin, the whole thing, I mean, your running game is a unit that your backs and your line work in tandem with. I'm admitting that, but still. I think making the changes that they've been able to make, you know, again, these are things that what's getting put into the ESPN FPI, you know, the podcast, based on the crap from before, it's not going to be able, it's just impossible to take into account what the Bucs could potentially be. And that's why I don't think there's very much to it. Now, obviously, if you look, if you've got some time, you're not going to get the chance to carry the ball as much as Doug Martin did. But, you know, where we're at right now is a whole. Also in Bucks news, we do have some joint practices scheduled with the Titans. Dirk Koetter announced that. They are playing the Titans in the preseason up in Nashville. So they're going to get together with them and do some things leading up to that game. And other than that, if you're looking for football stuff and you need it right now, like you need actual click-clack, pad-on-pad, uniforms, painted lines, the whole real actual football stuff, and not just OTAs and shorts and all that stuff. Have you, for a lot of you, maybe you have, but have you ever given Canadian football a shot? Because let me tell you something. ESPN is a Canadian football league. They're going to be televising Canadian football games this year, the first one coming up within a few weeks. I think the, like, mid-June, I think, is the first one. You can watch them online and stuff now, but if you're going to, you know, watch it on your regular cable, which I know a lot of people are still traditional people like I am. I don't like to watch stuff online. I want to watch it on my TV, on the real cable feed. There's going to be a lot of CFL games on ESPN Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, and there's a schedule if you Google it online. I'm actually going up to Toronto in a couple of months, and I'm going to see, and I don't know if the schedule works out yet. I have to check. It'd be right near Hamilton and in Toronto itself. I'm going to see if either of them has a home game. I'm going to try to go to a Canadian Football League game. I did it once before in the summer of 2002, I did it. And I went up to Seattle and then took the train with my buddy to Vancouver. And when we were in Vancouver, I said, you know what? The British Columbia Lions have a game. Let's go check it out. And I'll tell you what, it was fun. I mean, Canadian football is a little bit different. It's really cool in person because on TV, you know, the field's longer. It's 110 yards instead of 100 yards, and it's much, much wider. It's like 30 feet wider than a regular NFL, and of course, zones are instead of 10. So when you actually get, and again, you see it on TV, and it's one thing, but when you actually walk into the stadium and see it in person, you are kind of taken aback at the field size. It's kind of neat to look at, but we had a great time. It's still football. I mean, it's not at its core that much different, football. And I'll definitely watch it on television when it's on. And now you've got the added bonus, if you're into this sort of thing, of Johnny Manziel, who is playing for the Hamilton Tiger Cats under head coach June Jones. And I'll tell you what, and I've admitted this on the show before, and a lot of you maybe already know about me, but I'm always willing to admit my mistakes. The year the Bucks drafted Mike Evans, every year I have a draft guy. Like, there's usually like one guy that I hone in on, and I start pushing for the Bucks to take him. And, you know, maybe one year out of five it'll actually happen where it's the guy I'm on that they actually end up taking. But one year with Johnny Manziel, I mean, I was that guy. I was all about Manziel. I said, this is the guy. The Bucks have a chance to completely transform their franchise. Like, this is a chance that you'll never, I mean, this only comes along once every so often. You can't just pass on this guy and let somebody else take him. And I was just 1,000%. I shoved all my chips into the middle of the table on Johnny Manziel. Okay? I did. So, I admit that. I have no problem saying that. I've been wrong before. I'll be wrong again. But I will say this, too. As wrong as I was about Johnny Manziel then, I still think he can, I mean, I think he's a good quarterback. He's got obviously, or has had issues that I think have stopped him from being everything he could be. But I think just straight up X's and O's on the field, between the lines type stuff, I think he can play. I still do. And I'm excited to see him. Now, he's a backup. He's got him, you know, we have to work his way all the way through this whole thing. And right now, Jeremiah Masoli, who's the ex-Oregon quarterback that you might remember, is the starter for Hamilton and has not given June Jones a reason not to be the starter. But Johnny Manziel is his backup. And they're doing preseason. They already had a couple preseason games. I don't know if Hamilton's had one yet, but a couple of CFL games have been played. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to watch. So, again, if you're looking for action of any kind, I'm just trying to get you guys through the season here, then that's something that maybe you can do. Now, there's been action of other kinds. I'm recording this on Friday morning. So last night was game one of the NBA Finals, which you may have seen. I'm not a huge NBA guy, which you may know. But I'll tell you what was on the other channel last night while LeBron pulling his force of nature routine and still coming up short, so emblematic of what the Cleveland Cavaliers are right now. But while that was all going, I didn't tune into the NBA game until it got good at the end, which, as you know about the NBA, you only need to watch usually the last quarter, if not the last 7-8 minutes. But the Spelling Bee was on the other channel. I think the finals were on ABC, and the Spelling Bee was on ESPN. And I'm a Spelling Bee guy. I enjoy watching the Spelling Bee. I'm always amazed at these kids. If you look at the words they get, I mean, and I'm a smart guy. I'm well-read. You know, I'm educated. I feel like I know a few things when it comes to, especially, you know, words. My SAT verbal was really good, I thought, back in the day. And of all the words last night, there were probably 40 or 50 of them that I saw live on the Spelling Bee. I mean, spelled maybe one or two of them correctly upon hearing them. Many of the other ones I missed certain part of the word or another I misspelled, but then I would even say a majority of them I didn't just not get, but I could not even begin to spell. Like, literally, like, wouldn't even know what the first or second letter may be. I mean, the first one usually you can get, but after that, I mean, these were, and again, it's not even about knowing the words so much as it is knowing roots and knowing what words do when they have a Greek root, when they have, you know, whatever. There's so many different ones, but if a word has a Latin root, or if a word has a Greek root, or if a word has an Italian or a French or whatever it is, these kids know. They know how the words are structured, and they can fight their way through a word even if it's not a word they recognize. Point is, I think it's fascinating television, the brain power. And these are kids that are ranging from 6th, 7th to 8th grade. And in many other cases, they seem rather awkward. But when it comes to spelling words, I mean, they are absolutely incredible. So I'm watching the, I mean, it was dramatic. And it always is so dramatic. And again, I always say, like, the best reality sports, or the best reality television on TV is sports. Like, you can watch The Bachelor or Survivor or any of that crap, and there's very little real about that, even though it's supposed to be real life and unscripted. But when you put sports on TV, or when you put people competing for a goal that maybe they only have one chance to reach, or maybe it's their best chance to reach it, to watch them either achieve that and the joy that comes with that, or to come up short and see the heartbreak and see the devastation in some cases, I mean, to me, it's as compelling as anything you'll ever see. Again, across sports. And the Spelling Bee is like that. Because these kids, when you get down to like 3, 4, 5 kids left, and they sense that they have a chance to maybe do something that'll be with them the rest of their lives, and they come up short, I mean, it's just heartbreaking. And only one of them can win it. So the unfairness of the Spelling Bee, and it's not, I mean, they don't try to make it unfair, but you know how Spelling Bee works. They line the kids up, each kid comes up, gets a new word, has to spell it, you make it, you keep going, you miss it, you're out. But the really only truly way to make a Spelling Bee fair would be all the kids to have the same word and the same lineup of words and do it that way. I guess the only way you could do it, maybe, you couldn't do it when it's still like 40, 50 people, 30, 40 people, anything like that. But I think when you get down to like 3 or 4 people, like the finals, if you will, I mean, to ensure fairness at that point, I think you got to go soundproof booths, like have 3 or 4 soundproof booths on the stage side by side, and each kid go turn by turn and give them the same word and have them all try to spell it. And if a kid spells it, he moves on to the next round. If he misses it, he's out. And I'll give you an example from last night. I mean, this is the final 2 kids, and one was a sweet little girl. I think she was in 7th grade, and one was an 8th grade boy who I think had been there before. And he was clearly the favorite. He was a veteran. Really strong all night, wasn't hesitating on any of his words, and he ended up winning. But when it was down to the final 2, the girl comes up, and she was the top half of the inning, if you will. I always look at it like innings when there's 2 people left. Like, there's the one that goes first and the one that goes second. She was the top half. So she comes up, and she gets Bewusstseinslage. I'll repeat, the word was Bewusstseinslage. The definition is a state of consciousness or a feeling devoid of sensory components. And the definition's not important, but Bewusstseinslage is spelt, and it's a German word, you could probably figure that out. It's spelled B-E-W-U-S-S-T. You gotta break it down into parts. The first part, the Bewusst, B-E-W-U-S-S-T, Sign is S-E-I-N, and Slaga is S-L-A-G-E. Now, I might even be mispronouncing it slightly. I think it was Babu Sainvlaga, maybe, like a V sound almost. But anyway, the point is, the girl knew the last two parts of it. She missed one of the S's. She only spelled it with one S in Bewoost. Really, really difficult word. And you could see her face when she got the word that she didn't know it. But sometimes they can get it anyway, even if they don't know it, by just fighting through it and breaking it down into parts and going off origin and things like that. So she missed it. So then she goes and sits down. She hasn't lost yet, because if the other guy misses his, then she's right back in it. And he's got to spell two of them. Because for whatever reason in the spelling bee, you have to not just spell a word correctly where the other person missed, but then you have to validate it with one extra word. So this kid had two to go. Now, if he spells two words right, he gets the win. If he misses either one of them, they're back on track. The two of them left going back and forth. So he sits, or she sits down, he comes up, and it's Hecetas, which is H-A-E-C-C-E-I-T-A-S. And when they said the word Hecetas, I mean, literally both their faces, the girl, they had them both on camera, the girl and the boy, they both knew it immediately. And the girl's kind of started to have tears pouring down her face now, because she realizes she's about to lose the spelling because she got an impossible word, and the kid behind her got one of the easier words that they had both seen. He spells it right, but now he's got to do one more, and then they come up with Koinonia. Koinonia is a Christian fellowship or communion. And it's actually a pretty easy word to spell, K-O-I-N-O-N-I-A, Koinonia. Fairly phonetic. And again, at this point, the girl is sitting, and this is the guy hasn't spelled it right yet. The girl is sitting behind him just bawling at this point, because she knows he's going to spell it right. And the reason she knows that is because she knows how to spell it. And she also knows that if their turns had been swapped and he'd been going first and she'd been going second, he would have probably misspelled Bewusseinslage, and she'd be up there spelling Koinonia much easier and winning the spelling bee. So he drills it. He wins. Confetti. I mean, before they even get the girl off the stage, like, they're trying to hustle her off the stage so she doesn't have to be around for this, because confetti's pouring down from the ceiling. They're shoving a gigantic trophy into the kid's hands. The kid, you know, the trophy probably weighed 10 pounds, but the kid still needed help lifting it, because I don't think he's ever seen the inside of a weight room. But either way, heartbreaking, compelling television. And I enjoyed it, but I couldn't help but think maybe there's a better way. And I think you really do have to do the soundproof booth thing. I mean, that's, to me, the only way you can get a quality, fair competition out of that whole thing. Either way, though, the point of it is, this is the point that we're at in the summer. So, I'm okay with it, because I wouldn't want football season to be any longer than it is, even though, again, if you're a fan of baseball, and I am, baseball's around for what, like 7-8 months of the year? Hockey is around for a solid 9.5 months of the year, and I love those sports. And I'm enjoying the Stanley Cup Final, by the way, between Vegas and Washington. But with all that said, those sports don't have a premium on their actual calendar year. And as much as I love them, it's not special just because it's hockey season. It's not special just because it's baseball season or basketball season. Football season's the only season like that, and there's a reason. And if you look at the TV ratings that have been coming out, they've been, you know, doing their look back at the top-rated shows of 2017. Literally, almost all of them our National Football League games, a few college football games in there, and there's a couple regular shows in there. But almost, I mean, I think 18 out of the top 20 or something like that was NFL-related stuff. And that's because, again, there's a premium on football. All the other sports, as great as they are, aren't as special as football. And of all the seasons, of all the sports, football season's the only one that's more of a state of mind than it is a season. And we're always trying to get ourselves into that state of mind with other things like the draft or the schedule release or free agency or what have you, the combine before the draft. But none of those things compare. So as we set sail into June here, you know, football season's still a little ways away, but we can see it now. Just use the summer to have fun, get things done. That's what I always do. And gear up, but we only have one calendar month left without any of the stuff that we love. Because once July hits, again, we're practically there. really, once after July, July 4th happens, after July 4th, it's football mode. And just know that all around the area, all around the country, all around the continent, there's high school kids right now in their summer gyms at their schools. They're out on the track. They're out on the field. They're running with a rope tied to their waist with a tire on the back. All the strength and conditioning stuff they do, that's all happening now. And it's all going to lead to what we can't wait for. So I thank you guys for joining me today. There's only one spelling bee that's over with. The Stanley Cup Finals still have a couple weeks to go. NBA Finals still have a couple weeks to go. And by the way, again, I'm not an NBA guy, but, I mean, hats off to LeBron. The guy is unbelievable to watch. And, you know, watching him lose games because of J.R. Smith not knowing what the score is kind of tough to watch in a lot of ways. But, again, I don't care about the outcome enough to really, truly be bothered by it. But all that stuff, you know, that'll get you through the next few weeks. Been enjoying the hell out of Ira, Justin, the whole podcast crew here on JoeBucksFan.com. I want to thank the Joes for putting me on the air, as always. And I want to thank you for listening. I'll be back next week. In the meantime, that is the free stretch for the opening week of June here on JoeBucksFan.com. And wherever you are, have a good afternoon, good evening, good night, and go Bucks.